Good morning. You've tuned into The Morning Show here on 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio. I'm Jack Peterson, and across from me, as usual, is Jim Healy on a Thursday morning, April the 3rd. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Jack. The first Thursday in April.
And here we are. Yeah. It is. The year 2025, flying by, isn't it?
Whoosh. Yeah. What was that? That was March.
Uh-huh. We are into April now. Joining us a little later on in the show, Paul Gunter from the festival at Sandpoint. Some big announcements over there, especially regarding their summer lineup, but also, you know, the other things that the festival does around town, which you might not be aware of. So stay tuned for that. There are other things to talk about, first and foremost, how about the weather?
Weather what?
Whether or not
we're going to do the weather.
you're right. This is terribly unimportant information because neither you nor I will be here during these nice warm weather days that are coming up. Jim, that is. Now, of course, our listeners might, so that's we'll do the duty here. The high today is 49 degrees, currently 39 degrees, and a 60% chance of precipitation. That is either rain or snow in the morning and then turning to all rain later on. Cold, I would say, tonight and clear. 27 degrees Fahrenheit and mostly clear, leading to a 55-degree day tomorrow and sunny. 31 is the overnight low on Friday night. Sunny and 59 on Saturday. 35 degrees, the overnight low on Saturday night. And 63 degrees and mostly sunny on Sunday. That's the current forecast for the weekend. Heading into next week, it looks like the rain is going to return. On Monday, 70% chance of showers with the high near 55 degrees. The showers are likely on Tuesday as well, and on Wednesday a 40% chance of showers, but highs at least a little warmer than they have been. Highs in the mid-50s all next week as well. So, you know.
Do you notice something about my fingernails? There's dirt. There's dirt underneath them, and I want to show that. I'm going to hold it up close to the mic. This is perfect weather to be out in the yard.
Yes.
And I've been removing the leaves that have collected, that I've left on the flower beds. They provide good moisture, number one, and a little bit of a cushion from the cold weather. Well, and okay. I've just been amazed at the things that are popping up. You know, with that fresh green look to them before they get the blast of real weather.
Yeah.
And it's just glorious time to be out in the yard.
It is turning green, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
Green and brown in spots, too.
So I've got dirt underneath, and I'm not going to be here next week. I'm going to be heading to Billings and Montana, and I'm going to take a little bit of North Idaho with me underneath my fingernails.
Excellent.
Yeah. Before we get too far, weather forecast for the Washington, D.C. area, as we always do, the marvels of technology. Alexa, a little canister in my sister's kitchen, she'll say 88.5 KRFY. And so I do the weather report out there for anybody who really is concerned. She says, one day heat wave, 65 now, high of 81 expected.
Well, okay.
Overcast and very cloudy, but 81?
Uh-huh.
Yikes.
That's hot. Let me tell you what's going on in San Diego, California, for those of you paying attention out west. The high this weekend, 74 on Sunday, and sunny. So if anyone's going to be in San Diego who's
aren't
tuned
you?
In right
aren't
now.
You?
I am going
oh,
to be in
surprise.
San Diego.
Oh,
yes.
Good.
74 and sunny. I was kind of hoping for like 82 and sunny, but that's okay.
Truly, when you get up above 75, it's all, well, I shouldn't say that. You know, I was in Palm Springs about a week ago. Well, a week ago Monday, it was 93.
Yeah.
Hot.
Yeah, that would have been a little too much, I think.
So let's make some important round ball talk.
Yes. How's your bracket doing, Jim?
Well, I have to admit, folks who know me, I'm much more interested in women's basketball on the collegiate level and professional level than I am with men's basketball.
Mm-hmm.
But I have paid attention. The NCAA tournaments are ending this weekend, and we've got four teams in the men's and four teams in the women's. And the interesting thing in the men's is the team that's supposed to do well and win it all, Duke, they've got three players who are automatically lottery picks or first rounds, and they are all like teenagers. I think 18 and 19-year-olds.
Yeah.
I'm just blown away by that.
Yeah. It is always funny to me to watch these games and think like, oh, these are just kids playing this game, you know.
What did they do to get to that age? You know, I mean, did they do nothing but basketball?
I think once you're in the Final Four, it seems like, probably basketball's been the central fact in your life. You watch more women's basketball than men's.
I do.
Can I ask when did you start watching women's basketball and following that, especially more closely than the men's?
Good question. I was a graduate student at University of Nebraska in the late 1960s, and we would get on television there Iowa women's basketball on the high school level, and it was 3-on-3. You had three players on offense, and you had three players on defense, and they did not cross the center line. And that just fascinated, because when I was in high school, you know, for girls, you had cheerleading and volleyball.
Yeah.
Those were the two things, the two sports that they could participate in. But then when I went to Nebraska and picked up Iowa basketball, I was intrigued with, you know, 3-on-3. And, you know, I was wondering, why the difference? Why not 5-on-5 and play all over the court? Maybe that's a notion that women could not sustain the activity of a full court game. So I would say my interest in women's basketball, high school level, would go back to the late 60s. Yeah, it absolutely. And now, with the way in which there's coverage of it, there's name, image, likeness, there's a lot of attention directed in that area.
Yeah.
I tell you, the real reason why I like it, I watch men's basketball both on the collegiate and on the pro level, and how much of it is above the rim. You know, whether it be rebounding and whether it be, and a lot of it is one-on-one. And whereas I like in women's basketball, it's much more basic. You set a screen, a firm screen. You do a backdoor cut or precision passing. The skills, the basic skills that are used and demonstrated, I find it much more rewarding on the women's level.
Yeah. It is, well, it is a cool, yeah. I mean, I've watched my fair share of women's basketball too, especially if there happens to be a school that's that I'm particularly fond of that makes it pretty far. And
right now we have South Carolina, Texas, UConn, and UCLA.
That's your Final Four, the women's Final Four?
That's the women's Final Four. South Carolina is going to play Texas, two SEC teams. I have a difficult time. I have to say, you know, calling Texas an SEC team, but that's the way the, and then UConn and UCLA, and I have a difficult time saying UCLA is a Big Ten team.
That's pretty nuts. Yeah.
I mean, it hasn't been Big Ten since, 10 teams since the early 90s. They keep the name.
Yeah. Yeah, that is amusing. How did the Lady Irish do?
Oh, break my soul. Saturday. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Last Saturday, they went down in flames. They were leading by 1 point against TCU into the final quarter, and they lost by 9 points, mainly due to the expertise and skill of a Wenatchee, Washington, Haley Van Lith. She really put on a show. And so the Lady Irish, they went down in flames, and I was in a funk.
I'm sorry.
Bring it up. Yeah. Let me take the scab off that.
Let's see. I had my bracket is not doing very well, and what I need to have happen now, just between my brothers and I, is I need Duke to win the whole thing, and I also need I think Auburn to lose immediately. And then we'll win.
They only have to go 2-0.
Duke, I know,
has to,
yeah,
go 2-0. There's only, yeah, Auburn plays Florida. Florida is the number one overall, yeah, ranking team. And this is the first, mm-hmm, time since the early aughts, I think, since you had the four number ones.
And how boring is that? Come on.
No major upset like a 16 beating a number one.
That really hurt my chances, because I thought there's no way that it's going to be four number ones in the final four.
It did.
I had to, yeah.
Well, in the women's, three number ones and a number two.
Yeah.
I mean, why play all those other games?
I know.
Just pick the number one, say, okay, you folks play.
Yeah.
But anyway, so how is spring in your yard?
My yard, robins are back.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Mm-hmm. That's, that's really fun to see. And we had some blue jays even visit us, which I don't know if I've ever seen, at least in our yard.
Maybe they were on their way.
Unless somebody calls and tells me, no, that just looked like a blue jay. That was actually a, you know, a Western
chickadee in a Halloween outfit.
Yeah. But it looked like a blue jay to me. That was kind of cool. No, the birds are back.
Oh,
the,
active. We still... I haven't seen them for the last 2 days, but we have a covey of quail in our backyard. I would guess about 15 to 20 of them. Just,
cool.
Yeah.
Those are funny birds.
Oh, they are so goofy. You know, when they skitter across the lawn, you know, they don't want to be exposed. And when they, you know, with their neck straight up and they're bobbing that little thing on the top of their head, I just love them. And what I find amazing, though, is how they, you know, unless it's a hawk, you know, we've got doves back there, we've got chickadees, we've got squirrels, and they all get along on the ground. We got flickers coming in and woodpeckers hitting the suet. They all know that they're not going to be attacked, you know, like the flickers aren't going to turn on the doves and the doves aren't going to turn on the quail, you know, where they must have in their DNA someplace like, oh, that's an okay friend to eat some stuff with.
Yeah. I wonder if people who have cats, if their yards are much less active in terms of birds. Do the birds know? Yeah, that's not a yard to go into.
We have a cat that comes from the apartments behind our house, who sometimes sends up residents, you know, right in the air. Yeah, and it's a big black furry thing, and it lays down the middle. Like,
it's not very sneaky.
Not at all, you know, and you're like... maybe a bird that has some vision difficulties might miss it, but and the birds don't come around or do anything, and then the cat disappears, and bam-o, word gets out, cat's gone. Let's go.
So, yeah. I would like to mention that if you've been listening to KRFY this week, interesting. It's all kind of you can tell just by listening to the radio that seasons are changing. We had, I think, Garden Life was on Tuesday, talking about spring in the garden. Then yesterday, talking about Lost in the 50s, which is coming up in, like, what, 6 weeks or so? 6-7 weeks?
In May.
Yeah, third. I think it's March 5th or May 15th or something like that. But coming up soon.
Things will happen quickly. One thing I do want to, since this is spring, and what you might be doing is spring cleaning, and go through your CDs and DVDs, and if there are some CDs and DVDs that you haven't watched recently or played, bring them down to KRFY. We will gladly take them. They will be used later on the last Saturday in July for the Crazy Day sale or Sidewalk Day sale. But what we will do is go through them and see what we can add to our iTunes library. And then the money that goes that we make off of the CD sale and DVD sale, it keeps the station on the air. So bring them down to the radio station here at 323 North First Avenue and just drop them off in a box outside the door. And we will thank you immensely.
You saw we got one already.
Yes.
Somebody dropped off a box.
I love it. I'd love to go through there. I'd like to meet the person, like, wow, who's the person who has not only the John Butler Trio, who's going to be at the festival this summer, but also other, you know, there's some great stuff in there. So I'll go through them and add to our iTunes library and then clean them up a little bit if they're show some wear and tear and put them in new jewel cases and a buck each. You can't beat that.
Yeah. No, can't beat that price. It's good to have physical media, folks. I mean, if you're considering donating to KRF, donating your CD collection to KRFY, get rid of it. It's just taking up space. But if you're thinking of buying a CD from KRFY, oh, absolutely, you should.
Yep. Well, go through your CD collection and say, when was the last time I listened to this? And when will be the next time I'll listen to it? You know, make some choices. Take firm control of your musical destiny. You know, take control of your ears. What are they going to be listening to? What are you going to be putting in your ears? Okay, we'll move right off of that. But do we have any upcoming events that we could go through while we wait for
Festival at Sandpoint? We sure do.
There's beautiful weather. I understand skiing is still good up on the mountain.
You don't ask me, but yeah, I've heard that people are still going up there.
Mine's hearsay too.
Yeah. That's what I hear, that you can still go skiing. It's been good. What we've been getting as rain, they've been getting as snow at certain elevations.
So. Such a deal.
Yeah. Let's see here. We've got coming up this week. It is already the 3rd. The 3rd of April. And that means tonight at Connie's Lounge, it's live music with the Cafe Gas Boys. They're kind of cool. They played here at KRFY before.
What kind of music?
Cafe Gas Boys. Live bluegrass.
Are they local?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
They're local dudes. At least as far as I know. Somewhat local. I think there's a mix of them.
Quasi-local.
Quasi. it's also cribbage night at Connie's at 6 p.m. All right.
I think we went over that. Do we play cribbage? Yeah. I do. When I need, of course, somebody to play against.
I'd need a refresher. I certainly did play plenty at one time, but I probably haven't really played.
It's a nice cabin in the woods, Minnesota game to play.
Oh yeah. Yeah. There's six or eight cribbage boards, I'm sure, around the Peterson family cabin.
Speaking of cribbage boards, I have to admit I'm at an age now where I like a cribbage board that has all of the pegs like in a straight row rather than, am I going around the first time or the second time?
Uh-huh.
You know, that sort of thing. You know, that I just want to move one peg after another and not worry if this is the first time around or so. You know, so I'm sort of concerned about boards as I age.
Isn't that an interesting game? Like, there's a lot of games where you have to keep track of points, but cribbage is the only one where instead of keeping track of points, I mean, just on a sheet of paper.
It's a peg.
You have a dedicated board.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a story behind that.
Yeah.
But you know, the thing though is that when you have a single peg thing, you know, that's a big board or else it squiggles around. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, a round where you go around it twice, that's a smaller board and portable.
Travels well.
So cribbage tournament tonight at
Connie's.
Connie's, along with the music.
That should be good. I'm thinking you could just play cribbage without a board at all and just mark it down on paper.
I'm sure, you know.
I think there's been times in my life where I wanted to play cribbage and I couldn't find a board, and so I didn't think that I could.
Well, you know? Now, I could be wrong. More than likely I am. Mm-hmm. But isn't there a penalty if you miss peg?
I think so.
But so if you kept it on a tablet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I know there's a penalty if you miscount.
Yeah.
But if you miss Peg, I'm sure that the phone will be ringing off the hooks.
Let's see. Moving right along, also going on tonight at Eichardt's Pub, live music with Liam McCoy. That's at 8 o'clock p.m. With accompanied by Pound Shop Nights food and drink specials. Pound Shop Nights. Okay. Let's see. It's First Friday at the POAC Gallery. That would be tomorrow. The opening reception is Second Life, Art from the Unexpected, a showcase of artists who transform, repurposed, upcycled, and found materials into works of art. Cool. You can go tomorrow night and meet the artists and enjoy light refreshments. And the art will be on exhibit through April 30th at the POAC Gallery on 2nd Avenue.
What time does the festivities begin?
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock, and they're
goes till 7 or so.
2nd Street.
Mm-hmm. That is open to all ages. Live music with the Monarch Mountain Band, an evening of toe-tapping Americana, folk, and bluegrass at the Pondere Winery from 5 to 8 p.m. tomorrow night. Marcus Stevens at Connie's Lounge at 6 p.m. Bright Moments Jazz at Baxter's tomorrow night at 6 p.m. And Camino del Corazon, Latin American.
Road of my heart.
Uh-huh.
Heart's Road.
A Latin American piano journey.
Ooh.
This unforgettable, immersive evening features vivid colors and rhythms evoked by composers from Brazil, Argentina, Chile, and more. That's at the Music Conservatory of Sandpoint in the Little Carnegie at 7 o'clock p.m. You can get tickets for that through their website, I suppose, the Sandpoint Music Conservatory. That's Friday night and takes us to Saturday. And
One thing about Thursday night, can we go back to that?
Thursday night, that's tonight.
9 o'clock, the KRFY Folk Show with Jim Healy. And tonight I'm going to be doing half of the program on Pete Seeger at the Newport Folk Festival.
Ooh.
And he was one of the co-founders of the Newport Folk Festival. And then the last half will be Jean Redpath. She's a Scottish folk singer. And without the lyrics, I have a difficult time figuring out what the song is about. But boy, do I like them.
Yeah.
And so this will be a CD that was recorded in the mid-80s that I just came across.
Okay.
And so tonight, Pete Seeger, who is up there in my folk heaven, a major star, and then Jean Redpath doing Scottish ballads.
Okay. Jean Redpath I don't think I've heard of before. That should be cool.
She a ton. In fact, she put out a bunch of CDs, I want to say 5 or 6, on the songs of Robert Burns, and a Scottish poet, and the one who wrote Auld Lang Syne, and Tam O'Shanter, things like that. And but this will be fun tonight at 9 o'clock on the KRFY Folk Show with moi.
That is, 9 o'clock tonight. And then you, when are you skipping town, Jim, if not tonight?
I'm skipping town early on Thursday. Early.
Next Thursday.
Next Thursday. I need to get because it's about an 8.5-hour drive to Billings, and I'm hoping for clear sailing, but see my brother, see friends. I lived there for 24 years, and get my taxes done by the person who has been doing my taxes for 40 some odd years.
Okay. Now, next Thursday is the 10th.
Right. Correcto mundo.
Tax day is Tuesday the 15th.
Correct.
Now, what if you get a flat tire? Aren't you a little worried that you're cutting a little bit close there, Jim, to be starting your journey to get your taxes done?
Give me something more to worry about. Okay. And all I'm thinking of is the beautiful scenery of the mountains, still with snow on them. I look forward to that drive, and I get to pick all my CDs that I want to listen to. If something did happen, like I would call Becky, and I'd say, Becky, here's what I have. And, she did that for me during the COVID years. So I could just phone her and say, really, if I have to be honest, it takes about 5 minutes to do my taxes. Then we have about 20 minutes of gossip.
Yeah.
What about How about who? Whatever happened to that sort of thing? So it's sort of like a nice trip down memory lane.
Yeah. It's a good excuse to go to Billings.
Absolutely. Yeah. Uh-huh. Absolutely. And then I'll be back in time for the show on the 17th.
Cool.
Okay. And what are your dates in San Diego?
Tomorrow morning, bright and early. I will not be on the news show, but you should tune in for that. Chris will be here along with guests from the Bonner County Daily Bee.
The Bee Folk.
The Bee Folk will be here, and I think talking about, well, who knows exactly what they're talking about, but I think they'll talk about...
there's a lot to be talking
there's
about.
There's plenty, yeah. I know that they have actually started raising the level of Lake Ponderay. I mean, now I'm cutting into the news of the week, but the spring,
the levels will go up.
Spring refill is coming up, but that of course ties into the dam that controls the lake level, Albany Falls Dam, and there's news to discuss about what's going on there with the repairs to the dam gates that are old and decrepit and could and need replacing.
Got to be an interesting. In terms of, you mentioned in the forecast, all the rain, plus the melt-off, the combination of how do you, so that we don't have flooding, but we have enough water coming in and controlling it.
Yeah. I remember, they don't always get it exactly right, which is interesting. I mean, they play it safe, I'm sure. But I remember on Memorial Day 5 years ago or something like that, the lake level just kept coming up and up and up and up, and I think it was over the City Beach Statue of Liberty, or it was up to the Statue of Liberty, where you could you would have to swim out to the Statue of Liberty.
And it's not like a faucet, it's going too fast, I got to turn it, and immediately I'm quite sure, like a train slowing down, it doesn't stop on a dime. The levels of maybe we should, and then you see the effect. Days later.
Yeah. yeah. Very interesting. Anyway, there's much to discuss on the news show. Yes, our friends from the Daily Bee will be coming in to keep Chris company and talk about what's going on. That's tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. The reason I mentioned that I won't be here is because, I'll be going to San Diego.
You're going to leave tomorrow early on the 4th.
Uh-huh. I'll be back on Wednesday, the 9th, or I think that's the 9th.
Is this a Peterson mini reunion?
It is. My brother lives in San Diego, and my other brother and my mother, who live in Minneapolis, will be flying down.
Oh, how cool is that?
Yeah. We're all going to go to the zoo, and I'm looking forward to the Hotel Del Coronado. It's all touristy stuff, I suppose. All the cliche things that you do when you go to San Diego. But... cool stuff. Should be a fun time.
Good.
And weather in the 70s. I'm looking forward to it. Wear
sunscreen.
And this is where, one of us is going to have to take a swim before dawn.
Yes.
Whoever loses the March, our three-person March Madness bracket tournament has to take a pre-dawn swim, and then we all go out to breakfast after that, is at least the thing we agreed to once upon a time. And we'll see if we follow through.
Yeah. An early morning swim off the coast of San Diego, as opposed to an early morning swim off a lake up in Minnesota or here at Lake Ponderay.
It could be. It could be much worse.
You know, get butch.
That should be a fun little trip.
How wonderful.
Yeah. And you, Billings in the springtime.
I lived there for 24 years. I get to see friends, and on this, on the 11th, a poker group that I was in for well over 25 years that's still playing.
They're not just getting together for you. They're regularly getting together.
They're scheduling their monthly when I'm there.
Yeah.
And I've gotten numerous emails about all the money that I haven't lost since the last time I did it. Because I'm really,
Mm-hmm.
I don't. Now, what are the rules? We play like, are twos wild in this? Or you know, we play games where things are wild and you know, we use the term poker.
Yeah.
With quote marks around
I've been in that kind of home game before as well. That's, yeah, especially as the night goes on, it's we're playing. There's jacks and twos and aces are wild in this one.
Whose turn is it to call?
Dealing?
Yeah, who's going to call? Are you raising? Do we have any more raises left in this? You know, that sort of thing. You know, we're you know as the we're sharp at about 7 mm-hmm. o'clock, but as we get around to 8:30, you know, we start fumbling around. But no, this is. Lots of wonderful memories. Many of the players are no longer with us, but we seem to get a few new each time. And, you know, we just talk. And we go, oh, by the way, whose turn is it, you know, to do something?
Mm-hmm.
And so I've got that on the agenda. And then just seeing a lot of friends and hanging out with my brother. Then I'll come back, plan to come back about the 14th Monday.
I need to ask you sometime about, I think everybody who has to travel that east-west route from time to time has to pass through Billings. I've never asked you for advice on where to go when I'm pass through. I always stop in Billings, you know, and do something, but I've never asked for a local
Depends what time
advice.
Of year.
Yeah.
You know, there might be something going on at the fairgrounds. It has a great art museum. Historic center.
Mm-hmm.
What makes Billings, I think, beautiful is the rock rims that dominate the city.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I'm up here, I have to admit, when I lived in Billings, I would have to travel over 2 hours into the Beartooths to go to a huckleberry patch to pick that had been just totally picked out. Uh-huh. Whereas I'm spoiled here, you know, I can go up to Schweitzer, I can go to Grouse Creek. There's all sorts of places I can go that isn't a major journey, you know, to pick huckleberries. So that's, you know, living here, it certainly has its bonuses. But Billings is where the Yellowstone River opens up to eastern Montana, and the geography is wonderful.
Okay.
Do we have a guest here with us?
We do. We should play. Okay, maybe we'll play a little music.
Okay, we'll play this song here on this date, April 3rd, if you can believe it, in 1959. BBC Radio banned this song because it had the word spitball in it. And then 2 weeks later, they went back on that and started playing. But this is the Coasters' Charlie Brown. Why is everybody always picking on me? And calls the teacher Daddy-O, which was, not a term that you use when you
in the Queen's English.
No, and not that comes from Blackboard Jungle, the movie. Spitball. He threw a spitball in the class, and they banned it for that. Yeah.
Here's
Charlie England. Brown on this date in 1959.
Beep, beep, bop, bop, boom, boom, boom. I smell smoke in the auditorium. Charlie Brown, he's in town. That Charlie Brown, he's gonna get dumb. Just you wait and see.
Why is everybody always picking on me?
That's him on his knees. I know that's him. Yelling seven.
The Coasters. With Charlie Brown. You're listening to The Morning Show here on 88.5 KRFY. We played that song because to commemorate this date, April 3rd.
It was banned on BBC Radio because of the word spitball. But then 2 weeks later, they decided they went to the Oxford English Dictionary, probably, and got the etymology of the word and the history of the word and found that spitballs were okay on the airwaves.
Yeah. Would have gone to the Oxford, not to Webster's.
The OED.
On that side.
OED.
Webster's, please.
Come on, Jack.
Who's that third voice on these microphones?
That's me, Jack. Paul Gunter, Production Education Manager with the Festival at Sandpoint. Thanks for coming on the show this morning. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for...
Yeah, absolutely.
Why is everybody picking
Tickle
on
pick
Jack?
To be here, yeah.
The song made me do it. I'm sorry.
Yeah. You're the victim of the song.
Mm.
April 3rd.
Thank you for joining us here.
Absolutely.
It is, yes, it's now springtime, and we're now into the second quarter of the year. Oof. And yeah, it does suddenly feels like this week, like, summer's coming. And that means the festival is coming.
That means the festival at Sandpoint.
Okay, the dates this year, July 24th through August 3rd for the something annual festival at Sandpoint.
That is absolutely correct on both fronts.
Okay, the mm-hmm. nth annual.
That is, 41st annual.
The 41st.
42nd, 41st.
Something in there.
Oh, wait, we started the same year. I'm 40. Yep, 41.
41.
1983. Good year.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a two-week festival. You got, and at this point, all shows are announced.
Yeah, we've got the full lineup out there available on all of our social platforms, as well as our very beautifully designed website, festivalatsandpoint.com.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of information on there, ticket links, the schedule for the year, information about our nonprofit side of the organization, our education mm-hmm. programs, scholarships, how to get involved as a volunteer or a crew member for the summertime,
mm-hmm.
and so much more.
All shows take place at Sandpoint Memorial Field?
Yep.
Okay.
Barlow Stadium at War Memorial Field.
Barlow Stadium at War Memorial Field. Okay.
Rolls right off the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to ask Paul, now that the kerfuffle over the performers, to lining up the performers, were, what do you do now between now and July 24th?
Read a ton of contracts and hope people sign them.
Oh, you mean that?
But other than that, we do a lot of other things, too. We start the advance process for all of our shows for the production side of the world.
Okay.
Which sometimes is very easy and sometimes is a lengthy process that goes all the way up till day of show, depending on the band and their travel.
And their writers and
whether
stuff like that.
Flying, mm-hmm. driving, mm-hmm. whether we're providing backline. Sometimes it comes down to writers and hospitality writers. And there are details that are deal breakers for some people that would seem so minute to other people.
Mm-hmm,
it's
mm-hmm.
a strange world.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to know more.
Always
about
entertaining.
That. Yeah, I'd love to know more.
But also
about
always
that
strange.
Without naming names.
There's a few out there. Ooh, boy.
Okay, but in other words, the lineup is set. One can go to the website and find out ticket information.
Yep, we've got a little bit of everything. We've got some newer alt stuff like the Neon Trees that are coming. Sorry, Neon Trees, not the Neon Trees.
Eagles. The Eagles, yeah.
It's gotcha. Just one of those things. You start saying it the wrong way. And
The Ohio State University.
Ah, yes.
For example.
Give
me a
break. It's right there.
Uh-huh. Okay.
We've got some classic rock coming your way, some cool classic rock mm-hmm. with lots of that 80s alt stuff they were into.
Kansas mm-hmm. is coming.
And for my fellow millennials and elder millennials out there, we've got a lot of 90s stuff coming in. It's a big market right now. Lots of stuff is touring. Toad the Wet Sprocket, Semisonic, Sixpence mm-hmm. None the Richer. All kinds of
Third Eye
great
Blind?
Stuff. Third Eye Blind, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my
mm-hmm.
1998 self was very stoked on that show.
mm-hmm.
And will be when they're here in Sandpoint.
So between, there's a lot of, now that you have the lineup, it's a lot of the details.
A lot of the details. Most of the big details are done in the contracting process.
Okay.
When we send out offers for those shows, like where we are, what mm-hmm. gear we're going to provide, what they might be bringing. Length of show and all of those things. Those all happen with management and the agency. And then we basically start that process over with the people that are actually boots on the ground.
Okay.
Tour managers and production managers and people mm-hmm. that will be on site at our venue day of show.
What do you do as production manager? I mean, what's your role? What are the...
It's a pretty big umbrella for our organization because of our setup and because of our specific venue at Memorial Field.
Mm-hmm.
We're essentially a pop-up venue. We turn a sports complex into a concert venue for a couple weeks. So we do every aspect of production from laying down turf protection. You've seen that hard white plastic that we operate on.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very expensive rectangle that we rent to protect the turf. from spills, mostly for weight distribution. We put a big stage out there, trucks and buses come in, RV trailers.
I never thought of that, the weight on a specific square footage.
Yeah, and when that field was designed, the city worked with all of their engineers and the engineers out of Spokane. We worked directly with them through the festival to design. At that time, we were still using our tent.
Right, right.
But we had designed with them specific square footage where the tent goes and behind that was poured differently under the turf. So it can take more weight other than the rest of the field as well. So it's actually different underneath on some of the sublayers than it is on the playing surface of the football field.
So no longer having the tent, though, has that redistributed the
It has a
weight?
Little bit, because we had anchor points, some that were buried underground during the process of redoing Memorial Field, and the rest were all above grade, and they were concrete blocks.
Interesting.
So we had a lot of weight in small amounts of square footage. Our first year, 2021, was kind of the first run with all that, and we did a lot of math that year. All those times when I was sitting in high school, I'm never going to use this.
I used a lot of it
on the fly that year with a phone calculator.
Oh, what fun. I mean, who knew? Who knew that, you know, you just think, oh, just plop your stuff down and bring on the show. But, you know, it's where.
If we were in a hay field that had just been mowed, absolutely. We'd drive right out there and set it down.
Was last year the first year without the tent? Was that 2024?
No, that was our second year with a mobile stage.
Okay. And is the stage going to be the, is it the same stage you've been
same
using
Same setup,
now?
Yep.
Cool.
We'll be operating with the same setup again this year.
Okay.
It allows us for a little bit bigger acts and a lot more production for the audiovisual aspect. So.
Okay.
And it's much, much safer than a tensile tent, but that's for another radio show.
Yeah. We got to save something for, next time the festival is on. The grand finale, August 3rd, Sounds of Summer. Tell me
our
about
very
what
own
that is.
Festival at Sandpoint Orchestra. For decades, we partnered with the Spokane Symphony Orchestra and the Spokane Symphony Association. And we've always been outside of their regular operating season. And as we moved into our later years and post-COVID, which is still a weird thing to say, that partnership was getting harder on everybody's schedules for them to find all of the musicians that they would need out of season to do a big show up in Sandpoint. So we took it on a couple years ago when we started our first movie and concert. Was our first festival at Sandpoint Orchestra. And it's made up of some musicians that do play in Spokane, as well as local community members, people from around the region. We have some family members of community members that actually travel for the summertime on their vacations to come over and play in our orchestra for the grand finale. So it's becoming more and more wide-reaching. And you can find information about that on our website, I believe, to join if you're a local musician that wants to perform.
Okay. Even at this late date?
Even at this late date, we're being outside of negotiating with the musicians' union. We have a lot more flexibility on our time frame as well. So,
Let's see. Yes, go ahead,
Jim. So any changes this year from last year with the festival that would be of note, just general?
One major change, and I know we say that every year, but we've been getting ourselves up to the norm the last several years as far as what we're doing in the industry, what we can do with current insurance policies, and that was our deciding factor for our last big change. We will no longer be allowing outside liquids into the venue of any kind, including
water.
Water and bringing your own alcohol in, which is that's another two or three radio shows. I'm sure we could talk about that for a long time. Due to the setup with our venue and that we operate our own bars, we were down to the last insurance company in the nation that would touch us as a concert venue to provide us insurance that is required to the limits by the artists that we bring in.
Okay.
Because we had bars that we controlled and we also had a bring your own aspect that we couldn't control.
So by having it no outside liquids, it changes the insurance aspect.
It allows us to have enough insurance to operate a music venue. Yeah.
I do have a question, you know, for somebody who does have a bottle, and will there be a place to fill it with water
inside?
We
have new water bottle filling stations that will be around the venue that provide nice filtered water. to all of our patrons. Absolutely. And you can bring in up to a 32-ounce empty bottle
that
to,
you can fill
that you can bring in and fill inside the venue.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. It's important to hydrate before, during, and after any concert-going experience.
And it can get hot on those days.
Indeed, it can.
It gets hot on that turf.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Cools down fast, but first hour of that show is pretty toasty still.
I'm going to save that for next time. Let's not ask about the concert series itself. Let's ask about what else is going on at the festival at Sandpoint.
Like, well, we're wrapping up our school year.
Uh-huh.
We're getting into the second quarter of the calendar year, but the fourth quarter of the 2024-2025 school year coming out of spring break.
Mm-hmm.
The top of my list would be our scholarships that we offer each year. We mm-hmm. have four scholarships that we offer to high school students. They're eligible. All high school students are eligible in Bonner and Boundary County, with preference given towards graduating seniors. But if there are none that apply, it's available for a junior, a sophomore, freshman, whoever else might have applied for that. Those are coming up on April 10th, next Thursday, I guess that would be already.
Already?
Mm-hmm. Right. Man, geez, a week from today, ooh, those are due. Mm-hmm. And we have four that we offer. We have our Instrumental Excellence Scholarship that we've offered for 20-something years now as the organization. We've added a vocal excellence scholarship to that as of last year to mirror the same thing. It's also a $2,500 award for any students that are pursuing vocal music after high school. We added an industry scholarship for kids that are interested in the music industry, but maybe on the tech or theater tech side, or music management, artist management, something in the industry aside from being the performer on stage. A lot of music scholarships mm-hmm. are directed towards those kids mm-hmm. as a musician, and we didn't have any local offerings for students that were looking at the technical side or any other branch of that, from artist management to costume and stage design or anything in between. And then one that tugs at the heartstrings locally for a lot of people is the Charlie Packard Memorial Songwriting Scholarship.
Perfect.
It's hard to walk down the streets of Sandpoint, even present day with all the new population, and find somebody that doesn't know about Charlie. His family started this scholarship after he passed, and we, as the festival, have taken that on to ensure that it happens no matter what for our community. So
this is April the 10th is the deadline. Where does one go to find out how one applies, the website?
There's a link on our website with PDFs for all of the scholarships. If you're a high school student, you can get it through your counseling office and turn it in there by the 10th, and then I will collect them from your school. Or you can get them to our office at 525 Pine Street or directly to me via email, and all of that information is on each of the scholarships.
Perfect. So you better have wings on your feet. Get those applications, because, you know, those are a chunk of change.
Yeah, we mm-hmm. did with our scholarship for the lineup poster that we gave last year. In addition to these, we were just under $10,000 that we gave out last year to high school students. So we're perfect. Looking to grow that a little mm-hmm. bit each year. And
I think in the Bee this morning, isn't there a photograph of the high school student who doing the poster? There was something in the Bee this morning. But it could have been
somebody
a quick,
go grab one.
Yeah, yeah. It could have been a quick read. You know, I was not quite awake. Jack is working his magic fingers.
Let's see if it's on their website.
Yeah, and you know, I might be totally wrong on it, but there was a photograph.
There was somebody with a poster.
Somebody mm-hmm. with a poster. A young woman with a poster, and. So anyway, I could be totally wrong, because it was probably...
We released the names of the winners of our posters, but I don't think we've released designs at this point.
North Idaho College Students Design to Represent Festival at Sandpoint.
There you go. As of today, says. April 3rd, big day.
Gracie Duncan, a Timberlake High graduate, stands in front of her winning poster design for the festival at Sandpoint. It will be featured on festival lineup posters, in advertisements, on a Toyota Tacoma wrap.
We're going to wrap the truck with that poster.
And the festival's website and other marketing materials. Okay.
So I wasn't hallucinating. That was
way to go.
That was before my first cup of coffee this morning.
Uh-huh.
I'm stunned.
Well done.
It's, yes, a Wednesday news release. This is brand new. Okay. This is a breaking news. I don't have a sound effect to play, but yes, there you go.
Yep, you need a little little tag on there.
I know.
Ding, 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 mm-hmm. ding. Yep.
Ding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's very cool. We do have Rob Talbot waiting in the wings from the Panada to let us know what's
going
on out there.
Should I go get him and have Paul in?
Should we just bring him in?
Paul in. Yes, Rob
sure.
together. Or
we
should
got,
should we
do
another?
Plenty of room.
Yeah.
Another quick song and then. Okay, or you keep on talking to Paul,
we'll
and
talk.
I'll bring it.
Yeah, because we only got a few minutes left here. Trying to keep us sort of on schedule. It's a good song though, Jim. We'll play that. Hey, there he is. Welcome now to the studio, Rob Talbot, the executive director of the Panada Theater.
Good morning. How are we doing?
Good morning.
Hey, everybody's pretty happy here, and it's nice and cozy here.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
In the studio. Let's see. We were just talking festival, and...
Oh, man, I'm excited. It's a good lineup this year.
It's going to be popping off down there at Memorial.
Festival and education Yeah, did anything else you want to say about the festival education besides the scholarship?
Just wrapping up our other education programs for the year. We have started a pre-K outreach program that operates at four schools currently, providing free music classes to little ones.
That's cool. My kids love that, I have to say. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. Talk about it all the time.
Vivian asked me about my little guy every time. Mr. Paul! it's a blast. It's super fun. We do a lot of percussion song-based stuff and do a full music exploration program where they get to try out a ton of instruments from different music families. We've been all over the place. At Montessori School, we go by month and continent that they're on, learning about the world. So it's a pretty cool program. Super fun. We've got a few programs we're doing with LPOSD, helping out with their sixth grade band programs. And then looking at a few masterclass outreach programs for the end of the year at the middle school and high school. And then it's off to summertime.
Almost
there. We start it all again in September.
Well, okay. Rob.
Busy.
Rob, welcome to the studio.
What's going on at the
Panada Theater these days?
Well, you know, we're rolling on. I heard y'all talking about a scholarship, scholarships that the festival has. I would imagine there's some students out there that might be interested in the Panada scholarship as well. We have a Laurel Wagers Memorial scholarship that again is due on the 10th, same day.
Big day in Sandpoint.
Yep. And if I could get my old man eyes to read properly, scholarships open to any high school senior graduating this year in Bonner County and entering college with an interest in pursuing a career in theater, film, stage production, music, or related arts. Panada.org. Go to the on the main page there. You can go all the way to the bottom, click the link, and get instructions and fill that out. And we'll help you get to college.
It's scholarship season.
it is that time. It's really cool to be a part of such a robust music scene, music community, and just be able to play a part in helping that continue forward. And even being mentioned in the same breath as the festival is awesome.
Coming up this weekend, you got, there's one not to miss, Toy Story. The Toy Story 1.
Yes.
OG Toy Story.
Mm-hmm. Got to go for the original on that one. I can't deny that one was influenced by my kids.
Mm-hmm.
Their grandfather's in town this week, so we're gonna get over there as a group.
Perfect.
And catch that.
Okay.
We got two showings, 2:00 and 7:00. We also have a board meeting tonight. Community board meeting at 6:00 at the Panada Little Theater,
mm-hmm.
which you gentlemen are well acquainted with.
I love the Panda Little Theater.
Oh, man, it's such a cool little venue.
Now, a question came up during our last show at the Panda Little Theater. Is it Panda Little Theater or Little Panda Theater?
Oh, Caitlin is very determined that it's the Panda Little Theater.
Okay.
It may or may not have come from Caitlin.
Yeah.
You know.
Shocker. Yeah. Yeah, she's corrected me many times until I've realized I can't
Panda
mix it
Little
up.
Theater. Yeah. PLT. Yeah, just PLT. Like the sandwich. All right.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. And then we got, now on Wednesday, we got Hotel California on the 9th. Hotel California is a Eagles tribute band, and tickets for that are selling really well. We might even have a packed house. So if you're planning on going to that, then get them tickets now. Should be a good time. And then we have Andy Gross returning, who is a comedian, magician, illusionist. He'll be here Friday the 11th. And we had a great turnout for him last in August when he came. So expecting another good turnout and just having fun keeping that variety going at the Panida.
Comedian as well, you say?
Yeah, he's
comedian
funny.
Illusionist.
Yeah, and he's got some stuff. He's got some stuff that's hit like millions of views on social media, and some of it's a little jarring, I would say. Like there's some that he looks like he's pulled himself in half or he's taken someone's head off, and they've got some real serious shock value. But his live show is not. That's shocking, if you would.
So bring the kids. Maybe don't show them the YouTube links. All right.
This is KRFY.
It is kid-friendly. They do kid-friendly. It is a kid-friendly act. So, bring the kids, bring the whole family out, and have a good time.
Yeah. Turn in your Laurel Wagers Memorial Scholarship on the 10th.
Come see
Andy on the 11th.
I like it.
Big week at the Panda. Mm-hmm.
yes, he's a bit of a prankster, that Andy Gross. I've seen.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's cool. I think we talked to him last year, actually, last time he was here.
Yeah. He might be coming by and bugging you again, I'd guess.
Okay. okay. And then, more coming up later this month that we can talk about.
I really want to throw out there, too, we're going to be doing our first ever Panda Moms Red Carpet Gala on May 9th.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be a variety show unlike we see very often here in Sandpoint. And it's going to be everything from live music to comedy to film, illusions, magic. So pretty much anything and everything you can think of.
That's the Friday night before Mother's Day.
Mother's Day weekend.
Cool.
Yes, and it is in honor of the Panda Moms, of course, on Mother's Day weekend. So
wouldn't be here without those moms. Okay.
That's right.
That's the Panda Moms, meaning that original group of
the original women three. Yes,
came together to and salvage the Panda Theater.
Yep.
Yeah,
and tickets for that are on sale now, $75 a piece, and obviously all that goes to help support the Panda.
Okay,
we're going to be doing live auctions. We're going to be doing some silent auctions. We're going to have some local restaurants that are donating appetizers, so it's not full meal, but there will be appetizers served, kind of in the spirit of Holly Eve, that used to be a big fundraiser for the Panda back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Festival fundraiser as well.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
It is now 9 o'clock. You're listening to 88.5 KRFY Ponderé. Any final thoughts here going into, the beginning of April?
Final thought.
Where did February and March go?
Yeah.
That's a good thought. Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody want to say anything before we go? Let's see, panada.org, festival@sandpoint.org.
.com.
Mm-hmm.
I know we're at .com.
Mm-hmm. Catch us on the socials, Facebook, Insta. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yep. Subscribe today.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And if you're not on the email list for the Panada, we're 7,000 plus strong now, so step out. And if you're not on that, just go to panada.org and it'll pop up, and you can give us your email, and we'll remind you each Thursday morning what we're doing.
Cool. All three of these organizations working together to put on the Little Live Radio Hour with Jatiel Lund and, well, actually, sorry, with Idaho's Shining Star.
Not any ordinary star, no. Jack.
That's what's coming up on the 15th, on tax day, on Tuesday night, we'll be live from the Panada Little Theater.
Nailed it.
Yeah. where you can tune in at 7 o'clock or come on down and see the show in person, which is more fun, really. But it's good in your living room, too. However
good
you
in the car.
Listen.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah, there you have it, eh? There's a morning show. Good morning,
at least
Jim.
For this morning.
I'll say good morning to you.
I'll good see morning. You in 2 weeks.
Yep. See you then.
Yeah, safe travels to the both of you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll be back next week, I think, talking to folks about the upcoming Live Give 7B event, is I think what's next on our schedule here on the Thursday morning show. Oh, we'll be missing you,
Jim. Don't forget to tune in. That'll be a good show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're good. All righty. Time for Bird Note and then Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long. Starting off with Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs will be our first song. Anything you want to say about that, Jim?
On this date, it was released in 1965 by Sam the Sham.
Okay.